To see you tonight and to be able to turn our attention to God's Word. We're grateful and invite you to join me as we, for a few moments tonight, study about our hope. As Brother Connor has read a passage in Romans that speaks about hope that does not disappoint, does not lead to discouragement and doubt, but confidence and assurance. And we'll return to that passage as we go through our study. This morning we studied some about faith, and we said then that that faith and hope go together, and that what we want, they're linked, they're coupled. And what we want to do tonight is to reflect more particularly about, study about hope and how that affects the way we're living. In fact, how we live does indicate what type of hope we have, or the lack of that hope. And so we'll see that as we go through our study some tonight, that if indeed we are living not for this world, if in fact this world is not my home and I'm just passing through, if in fact our hope is laid up somewhere beyond the blue, that in fact we will be living that way, that our life will reflect the hope that we have. Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. But there's a place for faith, there's a place for hope, there's a place for love in our lives. And that hope is the hope of our calling. Just as there's one body in Ephesians, the fourth chapter in verse 4, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. We have a singular hope, a hope that goes beyond this moment. It goes into eternity, a hope that reaches into the presence of God Himself, Christ making that possible for us, as we'll note in a few moments. Paul said, Christ is our hope. But that leads us to these questions about, does our hope affect how we're living? Do we think about our hope? What is hope? Hope is desire and expectation. You know, hope doesn't disappoint, we read there. It's not just desiring something, it's expecting it. It's an anticipation of something that's real, something that's ahead. And so, do we live in that hope? Is that defining the context of the choices we're making, the lives we're pursuing? Just what is our hope? And in whom or where do we put our hope? Do we put it, you know, there's some physical realities that we have to address in our lives. But there's also the matter of either laying up our treasure here or laying up our treasure in heaven. So, is our hope something that is seen in us as the light of the world, which we sang together a moment ago? Because we're the light of the world, there's a hope that is to be seen in us. That's to be directing the path that is laid before us by our Lord. Why do we hope? All of those, hopefully, we'll get some answers to as we go through the study, and hopefully there are questions that we can be asking ourselves and ought to be as we are, as often said, examining ourselves whether we're in the faith. You know, are we walking by faith, not by sight? If so, then we're going to have the hope that we're talking about here this evening. And that hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, He is our hope. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1 says, Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. Without Him, there is no hope. And because of Him, then the Scriptures define the hope that we have. For example, Peter wrote about us having a living hope in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, there's some important points made there. God's mercy is at work in Christ. According to God's mercy that is abundant, He has given us a new birth. He's brought us forth from death to hope, but not to a living hope. The idea of living there is, the word is lively. It's a lively hope. It's not fragile and perishable. It's a continuing, has a continuing life. Our hope is vigorous. This hope is strong and powerful. That's what Peter's saying. It's not some fragile thing that we set up and carefully put it up there and look at it. But it is an aggressive aspect of our life. It defines our life. Living hope directs us to live by faith, not with fear. We live in faith, not fear, because of our hope. Now he'll go on to explain that some, especially look at verse 5. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So if we have a lively, active, vigorous, strong hope because of Jesus Christ and God's abundant mercy we have through Him, as we've been born again, we're the children of God, we have an inheritance laid up for us, and God's power keeps us, protects us, guards us through faith. There's that hope and faith again. So that walking by faith, we are living in hope, not fear. So again, our question is, are we living our life every day? Are we living in fear? Fear comes from a lot of different directions. We can be fearful about our spiritual state. If we're fearful about our spiritual condition before God, then the Word of God teaches us how to address that through Christ. It teaches us to repent, to go to Him as His children, as Christians, and confess our sin, to change our heart, change our conduct. It teaches us, if we're lost, if we're fearful about our spiritual condition, to become a Christian, to believe Jesus is Lord. He is the ruler. He is the anointed King. He is reigning today as Savior, and He'll save you if you repent, confess your faith, and be baptized into Him. And then live with this hope, this living, lively hope, because of God's mercy that would save us and give us an inheritance. A mercy that's found in the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, and therefore our hope is the hope of resurrection. Our hope is the hope of resurrection. It is a resurrection of life. That our bodies are going to be raised. You know, Paul, before the Jewish council in Acts 23, that we've recently studied in our adult class, when he was brought before that body, he perceived that some were Sadducees, and they didn't believe in resurrection, and the Pharisees, they did. But note what he says about that matter. Acts 23:6, he said, when he perceived that, he cried out to the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." Paul held a hope of resurrection. Now, to solidify that point, chapter 24:15, before the governor Felix, again, Paul said, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." The hope we have in Christ, this living, vigorous, strong hope that is secured by faith, is that we're going to be resurrected from the dead. We're going to die, but we're going to be raised. How many people live in fear and dread of death? It's the unknown. And yet God tells us what to know about it, doesn't He? I mean, Here's the contrast of people of faith. Because you see, resurrection is unto life. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is He was raised from the dead. He conquered death. Now, am I supposed to live my life fearing death when my Savior that I say I trust in has overcome death and told me that He's going to raise me from the dead? And yet I'm fearful of living life because I'm afraid of death. Death is coming. Will it define me? Or will my hope of resurrection, my faith in Jesus, define me and you? You see the point? It becomes practical. How we choose to live our life. Does that mean we're careless? No. Doesn't mean we're careless about life and death. But we understand Christ has victory over death. Look at Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, you know, the anticipation of the separation, of the loss, and all that is real. And grief, those things are real when death happens. And yet, joy, it says, the Scripture says, I think it's Psalm 116:15, it says something to the effect that joyful in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, right? I don't think I have that quite right, but let me get precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Do we believe it? What did we say this morning faith is? Hearing God's Word, trusting God's Word, obeying God's Word. So if death of the saints is precious in God's sight, then I'm getting ahead of myself. Well, not too much. Then we rejoice. We don't sorrow like the world who has no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. You see? So, how am I living my life? Do I live in hope or do I live in dread? Do I live in doubt? Do I live in fear? Do I live in anticipation of death? You say, well, who wants to die? Well, we'll read some scriptures about, you know, fact is we're going to die. Fact is we have life and life's a gift. And we don't want to take our life. We want to use our life, the glory of God. But we want to have the right perspective about how about life and about death. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 with me and see some of this perspective that people of faith live by. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. If our hope for in Jesus begins and ends with living right now, if that's the only place our hope is and our life is about, then we're a pitiful group. We've said that we believe Jesus is the Son of God. We say we believe Jesus was raised from the dead. We say we believe God will raise us from the dead. That's our faith. Christ has been victorious. And so verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. He's the beginning of the resurrection of the dead. We will follow by and by. Those who have died, Paul said, I don't want you to sorrow as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that he goes on to say, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Christ or sleep in Jesus. He's going to resurrect His people. He's going to resurrect the unjust also. But our resurrection will be unto life. Now, that being our faith, that's the essence of our... We hope for resurrection. We don't just desire it. We expect it. We know it's going to happen. And that begins to define how we live. Philippians 1. You see, our resurrection hope directs us to put greater value on life after death than we do on life before death. Think about that. Do we put greater value on life this side of the grave or beyond the grave? If our hope is beyond the grave and we have a living hope, then what really is our life to be defined by? All the things of the here and now or the life beyond this world? Philippians 1, that's a rhetorical question. You know the answer. Look at the Word of God, Philippians 1, 19 through 23. Philippians 1 and 19 says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Did Paul live in fear of death? He said, I'm going to live, when I live, it's for Christ, and when I die, it's a gain, it's a benefit, it's gain. If I live on in my flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you, as he goes on there. So, he said to desire to depart and be with Christ. Now, honestly, this is a question for each of us. This is the question we were asking before. Do I genuinely, truly live in hope? Can I honestly, sincerely, genuinely say to myself that if I die, that's better? Are we at that point in our life? If I die, that's better. Because I'll get to be with Jesus. If that's true, then that reflects on how we're living right now. That says we're living a faithful life with Jesus. We're living in fellowship with Jesus, so when we die, we're with Him. If not, then it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But you see, if we're living in hope, then as Paul was, and we read that, he says he has earnest expectation and hope, verse 20, then we're going to put greater value on the life after this life than the life now. And that kind of leads to this third point, because you see, our hope is the hope of eternal life. Our life here is going to end, but our hope is of a life that never ends. Titus 1:1-3. And we'll make the practical application from this. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And he's writing to Titus, the true son in our common faith. So, a true son in our common faith. The hope of eternal life is because we trust in God's promise. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. So, that's why we put more value in the life beyond death. It's because God promised that it'll last forever. An eternal inheritance, he said, is laid up for us. Back there in 1 Peter 1, the familiar passage, he said, after he said, we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, kept, safe, attended to in heaven for us. An inheritance that won't decay. We will in this life. An inheritance that is unsoiled, unimpaired, not deformed in any fashion. It doesn't fade. It doesn't lose its brilliance. Life here is not of that sort. But you see, our hope is not in this world. Look around. We see all the crime in society. It's not a new thing. Why is there crime? Why is there hate? Why is there anger? Well, many answers to that, I know. But clear, it's obvious to us, it's apparent to us that those things reflect a lack of hope. A lack of really trusting something beyond the moment. And being driven by the flesh rather than by those things. But for Christians who have a living hope, it's very different. You see, for us, for the hope of eternal life, that means we're going to lay treasures up in heaven instead of this earth. That realization of hope is, I'm going to be more concerned about how I'm treating my neighbor, how I'm being a husband or a wife, how I'm being a brother or a sister in Christ. I'm going to be more concerned about, am I controlling my temper? Am I maturing in my faith? Am I showing brotherly kindness and love? These attributes of character, because you remember what that reading said in Romans 5? About our hope? What did he say leads to hope? Go back to, look at it. What did he say? He says, tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, or approved character, and character, hope. So to lay up treasure in heaven amounts, brethren, to us developing this character of righteousness, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, maturing in Christ as His disciples, because our hope is not here. Our hope is beyond the grave. Our hope is to a life everlasting. Remember John 6 this morning, Jesus said, I'm the bread of God that brings life to the world. If you eat this, eat me, you feed upon me, you'll have everlasting life. That's where our hope is. So if that's really true, then you see that defines the choices that we'll be making every day about being as Christ is and having Christ live in us, crucifying self, and by faith Christ being in us, Galatians 2:20. A hope of eternal life. So we have a living hope, a hope of resurrection, a hope of eternal life. This is a hope that is sure and steadfast. It is fail-safe and firm. Hebrews 6 and verse 19. Fail-safe because we live by faith. Of course, if we deny Him, He'll deny us. But the surety of our hope, the unwavering nature of our hope, is because God has promised and confirmed it with His oath. His Word is sound and sure. We trust it. We have faith in it. And therefore, we have a hope that anchors us to God Himself. It says, a hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence beyond the veil. In the Old Testament tabernacle and then the temple, there was a veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. The priest would come into the holy place and there burn incense and light the candles and put the showbread on the table every week. But beyond the veil, inside the veil, in the most holy place, there's the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And the high priest would go there once a year with blood of a lamb to offer atonement for his sins and the sins of the people. But we have a hope that goes into the presence of heaven. Our high priest is in heaven, chapter 8, 1. Jesus, offering himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, mine and yours and everyone else's. That's our confidence. That's the hope in which we rejoice. It's sure and steadfast. And so chapter 3 of Hebrews 6 says, Christ is the Son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Are we rejoicing in hope, or are we fearful and cowering, doubtful and dreadful as we live day by day? What's defining us? Is the world defining us? The world's afraid of a lot of things. Again, hope is not reckless. Hope is confident. Hope understands the moment and it understands eternity. Our hope goes beyond the moment. It goes into heaven and into the eternal presence of God. And it overcomes doubt, dread, and fear. That's what Romans 5, 3 through 5 says. Chapter 12 and verse 12 of Romans says, rejoicing in hope. Look what it goes on to say. Rejoicing in hope. Now, let me get over there because I can't quite quote it with you. Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, bless those that persecute you, bless and don't curse, rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. Hope is a defining element of joy in our lives. It is sure, it is firm, it is steadfast, it's unwavering. So it overcomes doubt and dread and fear. Our hope, we don't see it yet, but we eagerly wait for it. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, "For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." We haven't yet experienced heaven. See, we haven't yet experienced the eternal life. But we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We anticipate it. We hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Hebrews 10:23. See how hope defines what we do now? We endure. We maintain. We are steadfast in our faith and service to God because our hope is sure and steadfast. Paul commended the Thessalonian Christians for their patience of hope. Their enduring hope helps us endure. To see through the moment. See through the present trial. Look beyond it to eternity. There's our faith. Our faith is not here in the moment. Our faith is beyond. And so our eyes lift beyond the moment and to see the hope of eternity. And that defines then our endurance through this passage. As living by faith, walking by faith. Paul described the hope of our salvation as a helmet. He says, "Put on hope, which is the helmet of salvation," I believe. A helmet is the hope of salvation, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, to look at that more specifically, it says, he says, let us who are of the day, the light of the world, you're the light of the world, live as children of light. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Our hope of deliverance protects us. A helmet. It protects our minds. It shields us. Because our minds are set on eternity. Beyond this life. Beyond the death of the body. To eternal life. And so, we have good hope by God's grace. The world doesn't have this, doesn't experience this. But look at 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and look what we have in Christ. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God the Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Our hearts need comforted. We need comfort. We need to be established. That is strengthened. Comfort and strength in every good word and work. Where does that come from? Well, from our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. They loved us and they've given us what? Everlasting consolation. They've given us good hope by grace. Were it not for God's grace, we'd have no hope. But because of God's favor toward us in His Son, when we have faith in His Son, the blessing of that is hope. And with hope comes what? Comfort and strength. Comfort our hearts and establish you. What? In every good work and word and work. That we can then live every day with work that honors God, with words that demonstrate and are an aspect of our faith in Him. Unseen, but again, eagerly waiting for it. So again, to the point question then, that really becomes practical, is am I eagerly waiting to die and be with the Lord? Eagerly waiting for heaven. But eagerly waiting for heaven means I'm eagerly waiting to die. So that I can be at rest, be at peace, be at comfort in Abraham's bosom, until which time God is going to resurrect me from the dead and bring me to eternal life. That's our hope. So am I eagerly waiting for that? Or do I just want to push that off and think, well, that's way out in the future. That'll happen someday, but I don't have to think about that now. Because if I think about it that way, I'm going to make decisions in my life right now that won't reflect a hope. It'll reflect treasures on earth instead of in heaven. Sight rather than faith. And that's not what we want to do. You see, the world has no hope. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, the world says, having no hope. The world has no hope and without God in this world. The world's passing away and its lusts. 1 John 2:17, but he that does the will of God abides forever. The world, all the world can offer is in sin. There's fear, there's spiritual pain, there's death eternally. But the gospel in Jesus Christ, we're released from that fear and bondage. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. See, he has delivered us. Look at the verse. Well, he has released all those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He's released us so that our hope is secure through Him. The world doesn't have victory over sin and death, but in Jesus Christ we have both. And our resurrection is our hope. We rejoice instead of sorrow, as the world that has no hope. Precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. Christians can be comforted when those in Christ die, because that's the realization of the hope. That takes us beyond these mortal things, waiting that resurrection unto eternal life. Psalm 16 is a psalm that's prophetic of Jesus, but the psalmist explains this thought very appropriately. He says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Now that's applied to Jesus, right, in Acts 2. It's messianic, but the concept really is true that of all of us, because He's not going to leave our soul in corruption. He's going to resurrect us too. So He says, we rejoice. My heart is glad. I rest in hope. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's see, the world can offer no hope, because in sin there's no hope, only the wages of sin, which is death, eternal death, Romans 6:23. So Jesus brings hope to a hopeless world. Romans 12:12, as His people we rejoice in hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, in sin though, there's despair and sorrow and despondency when death comes. In Christ there's joy, there's comfort, there's life. The hope of salvation is ours, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. The hope of resurrection is our hope, 1 Corinthians 15:19 and 20. We have the hope of heaven. We've heard about the hope of heaven in the gospel, Colossians 1 and 5. Christ in you is the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Is Christ in you? That's the hope of glory. See how that affects how we live now? If I'm not being faithful to Jesus now, I don't have the hope of glory because Christ is not in me. So I need to be in Him and He needs to be in me. I need to live by faith, walk by faith, trust, hear His Word, trust His Word, obey His Word, live with Christ, and He is in us. And so we have the sure blessings of hope. I'm going to close with Psalm 42. Would you turn over there with me? Here's a psalm that Brother Shane's not able to be here tonight, I don't think. He loves this passage because he loves this song. Let's just read through this psalm for a few minutes and close our thoughts about hope. And I want you to see hope in it. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? The psalmist is longing for God, just as a deer pants for the water. His soul is longing to be in the presence of God, to appear before Him. Is ours? When I remember these things, the enemy is saying, where is your God? Now remember, so as we are putting our hope in God, there's people all around us who are saying, where is your God? Why are you living that way? Why are you choosing to be that kind of a person? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. See why we said hope overcomes doubt and fear and dread? Why are you disquieted? Hope in God. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I will remember you. When I'm distressed, when I feel overwhelmed, I'll remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. When distress came, He would not be overwhelmed with doubt, anxiety, fear, disquieted, but He would remember God. He would remember God's loving kindness that came to him. In the day and in the night, he would praise God. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? If we found ourselves in that situation, like we wonder sometimes, where is God? God, don't you care? God, where are you? Our faith is shaken. Our hope is rattled. But as the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Let it never be the case that we say, where is our God? Even though our enemy says, where is your God? And so he ends with a renewed sense of joy and faith in his hope. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Our help won't come from the world. The world will try to resist us, resist God, resist those who follow God. But our hope is in God. And so we pant for being in His presence. We long for being in His presence like the deer pants for the water brooks. Christ gives hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless, salvation to those lost in sin. My friend, if you're not a Christian, come to the hope, the true hope, the living hope that's only found in Jesus Christ. If you'll put your faith in Him as the Son of God and confess it and repent, change your heart about sinning against God and be baptized into Christ, He will wash your sins away. You will be born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you'll have an inheritance laid up in heaven, guarded through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If we've strayed from the path of the hope that we have, let's return to it, to renew the hope of salvation by repenting in prayer to God and confessing our sin, and His assured forgiveness will be ours. Won't you come? Won't you respond to God while we stand and sing?